Blog Talk Radio.
Imani Entertainment.
Girl, you are picture perfect, perfect picture in my eyes. Girl, you are picture perfect, perfect picture. Yes, you are.
Welcome to Word Sexy Radio on this Monday. We're doing our thing, and we're going to do it right today as we bring you the show of the evening and of the future. We got fantastic people coming on today, so we want you to just sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I couldn't draw you better, baby. Just holding your hand gives me satisfaction similar to when two lovers sing. Couldn't draw you better, baby. Let me stay for me to kiss on. All my songs seem to run on if I write about you. Here's your friend.
Like this every Monday because we know how to do it. So we want you to sit back and get it together as we bring it to you live.
Only dreams can duplicate you. I think God is making me you and that you chose me.
It's your perfect in my eyes.
Your body is the canvas, and I'm a hitter with long brush strokes. Gotta call him a name. I ain't formally trained, I'm just drawing from experience. Worth more than millions, holler if you're feeling it. Real love, it takes care of all of your needs. So beautiful, you fall on your knees in an instant, like it was a Rembrandt or a Matisse. Cause there's nothing like the new freedom of two beings being in love. You see them, holding hands broad daylight, 2 p.m. A perfect portrait is worthy of a museum. I can't call it conclusion, I can't draw it. You can't understand why so many still heartless, trying to find imperfections in the Mona Lisa. Even if you find one, baby, it's still flawless. Check me out.
Couldn't draw you better, baby. I couldn't draw you better, baby.
On this Monday, we're doing our thing tonight like we always do every Monday, and we just want to thank all those that are out there listening. If you want to call in, you know the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and what we're going to do right now is we're going to bring in our guests, because we have three guests, and it's a two-hour show, so the way we're going to do this is we're going to start out with poetry and do our thing and get ourselves there, and then after that, we're going to go into the subject of this evening, which we have all the guests here, and I'm going to give them a chance to introduce themselves, and, of course, the guests that are coming in the second segment, we're going to give them a chance to introduce themselves again during that time. But right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the mics, and I'm going to let them start. But we're going to start with our lady, Miss Stacey Baller. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're doing just fine and glad to have you on Sexy Radio. Glad that you can be here. And we're definitely going to let you do your thing because it's going to be you and there's going to be Miss Cotton. She's going to be here as well, and she's going to be doing some poetry with you. So we wanted y'all to make it as sexy as possible. And then we're going to get into the second half of our show, which is the subject we kind of talked about last week. It's called a book that was written by two gentlemen. I'm going to have them introduce themselves here in a few minutes. And when we have them introduce themselves, they're going to tell us the name of the book and everything. Well, we're going to save that for the second segment. But, gentlemen, are you there?
Yes,
sir.
I'm here.
How you doing?
All right, well, state your names right now. How you doing? State your names and the name of the book so that people can know, because a lot of people are ready to get on this show tonight for the second half, and they want to hear that as well. So go ahead and state your names, who you are, and the name of the book that you have and why it's important that we're going to be talking about this subject.
My name is Hank Ballard. I'm the co-author of Why Black Women Are Alone, available on iUniverse.
Okay.
How you doing? My name is Jacquez Douglas. I'm a co-author of Why Black Women Are Alone, along with Hank Below.
Okay. All right, well, gentlemen, we just want you to kind of listen in the first half, and you'll be able to, you know, do some speaking and stuff like that, but we're going to get some poetry going. And then after that, we're going to get into your segment so that we can let, you know, you have the full time to explain about the book and talk about it and, you know, answer questions in that nature. And, of course, Stacey, you'll be doing the same thing. So are you kind of give us a little history of you, Stacey, right now, and kind of tell us where you're from and how you got into the poetry game, and do you do poetry or do you do spoken word? Because I know those are two different things, and we just want to kind of give you a chance to kind of explain yourself right now.
It is. I have been writing for 30-something years. I'm telling my age. And it was a way to express myself because I really just didn't have anyone to talk to and no one to listen. So I let my words do the talking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to let that happen tonight, right? Now, you do all types of poetry, or is there certain pieces that you do, or just feelings, or is there going to be some erotica? Because, you know, we talk shit on this show, so we do everything we want to, because this is Word Sexy Radio, and we say what the fuck we want to. So if you didn't know that, you know that now.
I know it now.
All right.
Do what I can. I leave all the erotica to Miss Cotton.
Okay, well, we'll let her when she comes in because she'll be in a little later. But before we get started with you, I want to see if one of my co-hosts, because, you know, we have a panel that's on this show. I think I see a number, and I think it's my girl, Carmen. How you doing, Carmen?
Hey, Red.
How is everything with you?
Everything is everything. Hello, Miss
Stacey. Hoping to hear that.
Hello.
Hello, okay. Hank. And is it Jacquez?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Well, we are definitely glad to have you guys on the show and you as well, Ms. Carmen, because we know this without you, we probably wouldn't have these brothers on the show. So we are definitely going to be getting into that piece. And I think GV is here now. So if he is, we'll just let him come in when he's ready. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give Stacey some time, if she's ready, to give us a poetry piece to start us off with the show this evening. What would you like to do and tell us what, you know, what brought it about?
I was into myself one night and thinking of a fantasy person standing in front of
really?
Me. Really?
Yeah. God damn, you was into yourself? Nah, let me tell you now. When you say something sexy or something crazy, we always come with something like that. So if you hear this, you know it's up, okay? Go ahead.
It was just a fantasy piece, sort of like a haiku. So this is what I came up with. Follow along with me. It's one of those things.
Okay.
I want you to breathe every word into my mouth from yours as if it was your last time to speak. It's called Inside.
Okay, well, go ahead. Do your thing.
I just did.
Wow, shit. That shit was like, damn, I'm ready. So, damn, okay. Well, You're gonna keep doing this like that, just brushing us a little bit, you know, like,
just
you know, making people get a little hot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just brushing you a little bit.
You gonna brush us like that?
Yeah, brush.
Okay, well, shoot. You know, Cotton, we waiting on Cotton to come. She's you know, she knows to be here, so she'll be here, and she's one of the panelists, so she'll be here. But so how did you come up with that piece? You said you were sitting there one night. Was you playing with yourself or something? Or what were you doing?
Something like that, just daydreaming about that fine brother that I could really get into.
Okay.
And him towering over me and just giving me one of those breaths where I could take his breath and he could take mine and that'd be it. And we just go inside each other, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, damn, that sounds good to me. Now, let me see. I got a couple of these brothers here that's, like I said, is going to be in the second half. I'm going to give them a chance to comment right quick because I'm interested to see what they think about that coming from a sister. What y'all think about that?
Man, I like it. I mean, I'm a poet myself, so I've actually got a book of poetry I'm working on right now. Hopefully it'll be out this year. So hearing stuff like that, you know, inspires and motivates me. You know, and I do a little bit of erotic, you know, I don't do spoken word, you know, but you know, I'm more of a writer type of a poet. So, you know, I love to just interact with different poets, and I really actually didn't know it was gonna be spoken word the first hour, and I love to hear people speak about poetry.
Well, let me take it back now, because nothing wrong with spoken word, but, you know, there's a difference between the two. And as Ms. Cotton, when she comes on, she will definitely let you know that spoken word and poetry are two different things. So, and I kind of like the poetry side of it, because I think it's more feeling and more, you know, interjection of the person itself that brings it out. I think the spoken word is more like a certain twang that you get with it or something, and sometimes it's just not for me, but that's just me speaking. So, Carmen, what do you think about that?
I don't consider myself a poet. I loved her haiku, but I think poetry takes a lot of structure that people don't realize. They think, oh, it's so easy, I'll just sit down and write a poem, but I don't think it works like that, so I respect poets.
Well, you know, I don't think it works like that either. I'm not a poet, definitely not, but I do respect that genre. So, you know, being a writer and everything, I do respect that. And I think that anybody who can sit down and do that, you know, I think it takes more creativity. Not saying that writing erotic fiction or any type of fiction books or even anything else doesn't take as much, but I think it takes a lot of feeling and a lot of, you know, stuff with that. So Stacey,
yes.
You said you've been writing for over 30 years.
Yes.
And we're not worried about age because, you know, age is just a number. So, so do you just, when you started 30 years ago, did it just kind of like give you, was it some things that was going on in your life or some aspects of you that just thought you wanted to express it in word? And I knew you said earlier that you didn't have anybody to talk to you, but I mean, it went to another level. So can you kind of elaborate a little on that?
Yes, well, as far as me not talking to somebody, I would watch a lot of television. And it was around this time, Dr. Martin Luther King, this era, it was something on television that just moved me to tears, and I wrote about it. And it was just so heartbreaking because even though it happened then, it's still happening today as far as social consciousness was between the blacks and the whites, and then you got the blacks on black crime. And that inspired me to write. And it just kept going and going and going. And it went from black on black to love to sex, and then, which it should have been first and foremost, the love of God.
Right.
And I went back to that. And I said, okay, this is a gift. Then start showing me. And he did. So no matter what type of emotions I'm going through, he's giving me those.
Right.
So I use that.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. So do you have another piece for us that you want to share with us?
Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Just a little. Is it gonna be short like that one? Because I didn't get a chance to get myself hot before it was over, baby. You know, give me something a little longer. You know what I'm saying?
This is a little bit longer, but
okay.
Like I said, I'm teasing tonight because my book is about to drop in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, you'll tell us about that as well. So go ahead and get us smoking here.
This one is. I got this from my favorite group, Floetry, and it's called Say Yes Part 2, so I'm just giving you a little bit of this. My heart, my heart whispering for you to come to me. in a strong embrace. And when you do, I will be there with open arms to comfort you in my mind, right there, right there, right there. Did you feel that? I just did. I can't contain it. It's so good. I want to frame it. I think I've named it, claimed it. It's yours. It's mine. It's ours. You make me so, so, so. Just for a moment, in a time, will you say yes? That's my piece.
All right. DV, are you there, brother?
I'm there.
DV?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
How you doing, DV? How you doing, DV?
What's up, people?
You know, I got to get you to comment on that.
Like, I didn't really get a chance to hear it because, like, I was away from the phone and I just, you know, put the phone in my ear.
Okay.
Like, you know, it was bad down here. So, you know, tornadoes, hail, you know, floods. So, you know, I got held up, but I apologize for not getting a chance to hear it.
Okay, well, there'll be more. And we're still waiting on Cotton to come. And she knows to be here, and I spoke with her earlier, so hopefully she will be able to make it. We also have the two brothers. Matter of fact, Nicole's Cotton right now. She just came in. Hello, Miss Cotton. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I'm sorry.
We're waiting on you to do some erotic poetry, and we have Stacey Barlow here, and she's here, and we also have the brothers who wrote the book, What Do You Know, Why Are Black Women Alone, and we're going to get into that in the second segment. But right now, we're going to just get into this portion because Stacey's been getting us a little hot. She's been giving us snippets and you know, holding back a little bit. But she said she's going to leave the erotica to you. So
oh my God.
I'm ready. I'm ready for you to fuck us up. You going to fuck us up?
No, I'm not.
Oh my God. You keep your hands where we can see you. What's wrong with y'all tonight?
She's like, no,
what you
no,
talking
not.
About? What you mean? We're going to do that, but we want to have fun because, you know, we're going to get into this thing, and we just really want to do it, and we got a lot of people that's listening. So y'all hang on, and if you got questions, and we got the chat room open as well, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we do it like that here on Monday nights. And I said the second half we're going to be talking about why black women are alone. So y'all know y'all want to hang around for that as well. So and we got the authors of the books here. Of the book here, and we're going to be talking with them, and they're on right now. So, but we want to get some poetry in. So, Cotton, what you got for us?
I'm just getting in the house.
Okay, so. Well, just then don't do nothing right now. We'll just wait on you. We'll wait on
okay.
you. So, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get with Stacey here because Stacey got me kind of started here. You know, she, even though she ain't talking erotic, she's still talking sexy. So, what's up, baby? You said you ain't going to give us nothing, but what's the deal?
I'm not giving you nothing.
Well, we know you've got a book coming out.
Oh, yes, but not all of it is erotic.
Well, it don't have to be erotic, and it's not all about that. We just want you to do some poetry.
Oh, really? Okay.
You can do whatever. You can talk about whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Just bring it to us. We got DV and we got Carmen, and we all going to comment. And, you know, we know it's good because it sounds good, sweetie. What you got going on? Go ahead and bring it for us.
Not much. Not really much.
Okay.
Ooh.
She's so sexy. She's trying not to be. Why are you trying not to be? Come on now. Okay, so Cotton is just getting in. So when she get ready, she's going to bring it. So, and I saw that new cover that she's got for her new book, boy, Sweet Mangoes. We're going to talk about that, too. All right, so... DV, you're going to be all right down there, right, in the storms and stuff, right? We don't want you to be swished away and shit.
Man, I don't want that either. You know?
Okay.
I like
you know what? And one thing I want to say, because Carmen brought this to my attention, I didn't even know. Did you know, DV, that we're up for a possible Blog Talk Radio Award that might be coming up? There's a vote going on, and I just want to spread the word to everyone out there listening that you go, there's a link that's out there to vote for your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. And Word Sexy Radio, DV Hen and Red Snapper are one of the choices. So if you like our show, please, we would love to have your vote. So if you got a chance to do that, go ahead and check that out.
It's like
in the event section.
Yeah, it was Carmen.
Yes, the events.
Because I had no idea.
I did not know because I just found out today, matter of fact. But that's good. And as Carmen said, the link is in the event section of Word Sex Radio's event page, and you can just definitely go there and click it. Or if you need it, you know, you can go to my page, Red Snapper, and you can get it there. Or, I mean, you know, we're just passing it out there. So if you want to vote, we want you to do that.
Yeah, so, like, I think they made the mistake of trying to get a show to me. It was like, because at first your name wasn't up there, I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. Because, you know, this is Red's show, this is Red's heart. You know, I just contribute, you know, some of the funny parts and some of the goof. You know, that's just who I am. So I was like, there's no reason to put my name on there if Red's name ain't going to be there.
Well, I appreciate you looking out for me because I didn't know that. But, you know, it's just one thing about Red Snapper. I mean, I'm going to do what I got to do, whether I get props or not. That's what we do. So, but Stacy, we're back to you because we're still waiting on Miss Cotton to get herself together.
Uh-huh.
She's got to put on some lingerie or something, or whatever, you know, or get naked or whatever she got to do before, you know, play with her toys or some shit, rub something, you know, I don't know, but she get on here and do her thing. But we want you to go ahead, Stacy, and bring us another one real quick. And brothers, I know y'all listening back there. I want y'all to suck this all up because when your time comes, we want y'all to do it up, okay?
Ooh wee.
Okay.
Hmm.
Y'all listening to me, right, brothers? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, Stacy, back to you, baby.
Yes,
what you got?
Sir.
What you got? What you
Ooh.
Got?
Oh, my goodness. I'm still looking.
Oh,
hey, you don't
want
to give him that.
Wait a
minute.
Like wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold it. You're not ready?
Where's the preparation?
I mean, I don't get this. I mean, y'all knew y'all was being interviewed tonight.
True. True.
So, ladies. Okay, we got Cotton. Come on, baby, bring it. I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready. Come on, baby.
I'm going to do something for my first book that I haven't done ever.
All right. Well, we are ready on you, baby. Go with it.
This piece is called Touching Myself.
Ooh. Ooh. Did you say fucking yourself?
Did she say fucking herself?
I swore I heard her say that. Is that what she said?
She said touch myself.
Go ahead, baby.
She know, man.
Do your thing. Do your thing, baby.
I wake this morning and I'm touching myself. The mere thought of you couldn't be helped. My hands were roaming as though they were yours. Eventually, I pulled out my girly toys. I had to close my bedroom door. I need the privacy so I can explore and be touching all the many places so I can make the sexual faces. It's that early morning touch, that kissing and the way you suck. I like the way you feel inside of me. The way you do it is always pleasing. As I open up my lips to feel my clit, I think of you asking, how do you do that shit? Creating the sensation that arouses my creation, making me want you. Having me do the nastiest sexual things that we can do, like from my clit to my lips, lying in bed doing that shit, touching my breast, I need you to caress, loving myself, enjoying it. Red.
I'm here. Are you talking to me?
Are you on your way home yet?
Ooh. I ain't saying Red. Shit else. Yeah, she wouldn't talk to me. I'm sorry I jumped into your commercial. I was all up in your shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But, you know, that's it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't one of you brothers say that y'all was a poet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's me, Hank.
Hank, you a poet, brother? You got some poetry?
Oh, I didn't know I was going to be doing poetry tonight, so I didn't know. I didn't really bring any. But I'm really feeling what she just said.
You
that
did.
Was,
well,
that
what's
was...
your comment? I tell you what, I want you to comment, Hank, because you know, because of the subject matter of the second half, I just want to hear what you got to say about that. What do you think about that? What she was talking about, Miss Cotton.
Well, first of all, I got to say I love your voice. You know, I love how suggestive it is, and so that drives it home all the way for me. And secondly, I love your wordplay, and I love how it flows. You know, I would personally come back a little bit more intense. You know, if we were going back and forth, because I like to feed off of other people's energy. So, you know, I'd like to get with you and probably do a collabo one day because, you know, that got me fired up right there.
I knew this was going to go down. I didn't know you was a poet, though, brother. I mean, this is new. This is new info. I mean, I did not know that. So, Cotton, comment back to that one.
I mean, of course, I'm always good when somebody wants to do a collaboration, and I appreciate the compliment. I really do. We'll have to work that out.
Okay, work it out. I like them words. I like the word choices. I like that. So, like I said, you know, we're going to definitely get into this thing here. So, now, Stacy.
Yes.
You got some political something, or what you got going right now? You got some.
See,
since you don't want to do no erotica. See, I know you can come back with.
Miss Cotton made me have to find something, but I'm gonna make it do what it do, what I can.
Okay, Stacy. All right, Stacy, baby, you go ahead with your shit. Go ahead, baby.
Here we go. This is called addiction.
It's called the dick. Did you say the dick? Is that what she said, the dick? Because before I heard her say that. Anyway, she didn't. What did you say it was called, baby? I'm sorry.
Addiction.
Oh, okay.
Addiction. Oh, okay.
Addiction.
Like,
we know where your head is at.
Hey, man, my head is where it is. Okay, go ahead, baby.
Right between your fingers.
Oh.
Look, man, I ain't going to comment on that. I'm going to let that go. All right. Y'all go ahead.
I breathe you, baby. I take you in and inhale you. Choking on the essence of the smoke you kissed into my lungs. Your smoke is your love you gave me the night before. I was so high that I didn't want to come down. I float with that pleasure of seeing you again and tasting the sweetness of the lips that is my drug of choice. I love experiencing you. I don't want it to stop. Taking you because of the way you make me feel. All up in my nose, both of my arms, between my toes, in my knees, and in my thighs, and even my clothes. I swear people may have to realize. They would just have to be there. You make me high with desire and sexy in my body all the way through. This drug makes me toss and turn all night. The drug is the man I love. My addiction is you.
Oh, damn. Wow.
You say y'all got some happy boyfriends right now, happy husbands, man. If that's, you know, if y'all poor do anything like y'all love life, man, y'all got some happy-ass men in y'all lives.
No, I'm single.
Yeah, you single? Oh, hell. Okay, now. She said that ain't going to be long. Okay, well, we see the brothers is getting into this thing. Carmen, what you got to say? Because you haven't said anything. I mean, you said some stuff earlier, but what do you think about this as we lead up into our second half? What do you think?
Yeah, because you trying to play it off because you over there playing with yourself, do not
go on. You can say that, though, Carmen. If you feel that I am playing with myself, it's probably true.
That's what I said. I asked you and need you to keep your hands over
the seat. Just be glad this is not Skype where y'all can see me
that's
playing with
myself.
That's what I was
going to say. Anyway, that's what I was hoping
right.
That it was going to be Skype.
And we can do Skype, but we'll do that probably. We'll try that one day. But, DV, what you think, man? What you think about that?
When it comes to poetry, my growth is stuck. I'm one of those people that if I'm going to hear a poem, it has to have a video or something, some type of imagery to go along with it, because I'm terrible at creating my own imagery. So
I got you.
I mean,
you can't see her playing with her titties and shit, fucking with her pussy.
If there's a nice little video to go with it with a voice overlay, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's hot. You know what I'm saying? As far as, you know, am I being affected? Am I like, man, I got to drop my drawers and you know, be my shit. That's just, that's not going to be me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Mm. Hey, Kat, is there any way we could change DV? Can we make DV's aspect of poetry change with the sound of the voice that you have, that you bring to the table when you do your thing?
We working on DV. After a while, DV gonna come around. It's only been a minute since we've been doing poetry with DV. He gonna come around. See, DV is still young, so you know.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to see, we got a couple of people in it, and don't hang up if I come to you and you don't want to say anything. It's no problem. But sometimes we like to give our audience a chance to comment on some of the things. And so I'm going to go to area code 773. If you have a comment, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, I'm good, yo. Love your show, man. Your show is hot, yo.
You like my show, baby?
Love your show.
What's your name, man? Where you from? Where you from, brother? Talk to us. I know who you are, but I want you to say it.
My name is the controversial, most electrifying man in poetry, the poet of Clinton Court, GPA, nominated for Poet of the Year. What's up?
You know I had to bring your ass on here, boy. You know that.
Stop.
You know I recognize your number, so why you be bullshitting? Anyway, go ahead, bro. It's good to have
you. I cast my vote earlier for Red Snapper and DV. I cast my vote. Didn't nobody even tell me about it. I just saw it, and I went and cast my vote for them. Vote for Red Snapper Show, baby. Word second. Sup.
I thank you so much for that. We both thank you for that. And we're just glad that you were able to come on. And this brother right here is definitely the hottest male poet that I know, because I don't know a lot, but I tell you what, this brother right here, the stuff he be saying, I be playing his poetry sometimes. Like, I might even play your little number 8 from your CD tonight. That shit be fucking me up, brother.
Oh, man. Listen, I want to tell those ladies, Alicia, I believe your name is, man, you got a real nice, subtle voice. It creeps up on you.
Her name is Stacy, bro.
Stacy, I'm sorry, sister. I'm sorry. I apologize. Stacy, you have a voice that sort of sneaks up on someone. It's very sensual but subtle, and I like your flow. I can tell you're a poet, as a spoken word artist. You write some stuff. That's real business there. And good luck and best wishes on your book. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I want to say to my tag team partner, with a book coming out in February, Sweet Mangoes. Sweet Mangoes will be coming out soon. Cotton Campbell, the spoken poet. You know, I'm your biggest, hugest, that's not even a word, I'm your hugest fan. Oh, wow. I thought I was,
but anyway. Okay.
I was sitting here listening to you, right, Cotton? And I came up with something. You know what? I was sitting here, and I came up with something. Okay, is that all right?
Oh, man.
Is that all right?
Give it to me.
Is it long, man? Because we got 27 minutes with the poetry half. Go ahead, though, because I want to hear what you got to say. Go ahead.
It's not long at all. Since you were talking about, you know, you touching yourself, can you recall the last time? Can you recall the last time that naked was your only clothes? It was winter freezing outside, but you were oblivious because the windows were fogged. Bodies, both of yours, skin not a color, but only droplets of sweat. The carpet that was on the floor was not bought from a store, but it was composed of clothes, no longer clothing. Can you recall not being hungry, not being thirsty, save what your desires crave? Your comprehension contemplates nothing because your mind spins as your body is a top. You alternate between being tasted and tasting. Body leans in every direction, north, west, south, and east. Top, diagonal, and sideways are your eyes' perspectives. You are in and out of consciousness. Can you recall your voice going from speaking to moaning to unrecognizable screams that threaten to deafen any of those that might hear? Shatter the sound barrier? Nails freshly manicured, inhaling skin of the other person. Legs stretched as if preparing for a marathon. Backside, moving, reddening from the carnal punishment it is receiving. A flood forming from between the canal between your legs, breathing like you've been 20,000 leagues under the sea and finally surfaced. Feeling like this, can you recall the last time? And if not, then remember this time. My pony.
You know, hey man, you know what I gotta tell you, man? Let me tell you something. You're probably gonna be tripping on me, but you beg better than Keith Sweat and goddamn Lenny Williams and shit, man. You be begging for that pussy. You be talking, boy. Your ass, shit, if a motherfucker didn't wanna fuck you, they gonna fuck you after they hear that shit.
3 months. Hey man, listen, I'm gonna go back. I wanted to hit a topic. I went on my fan page and told everybody to come listen to your show. We're really interested in that topic that's coming up in the second hour. Why?
And we're gonna be on it.
Yeah,
yes,
so,
sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And we always appreciate you, man.
No problem. But much
okay.
love. Much love.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're going to get one more. Let's see. Area code 786. You have anything to say? Or where you stating, where you calling from? Okay, they do not. All right, so we're going to go ahead on further. Stacy, what do you think about that?
Ooh-wee. I had to get
Are you hot? Did you get naked? Are you naked now, baby? Oh, damn.
Well,
I like that.
I live by myself, so I can do it.
You live by yourself? Well, you know, I do too. And I like to walk around naked, but damn.
Hey.
Okay.
We ain't going to talk about that
just
right now. Okay, we'll leave that alone. All right, now. Okay, TMI, I got it. Okay. All right, so now, Cotton, since he spoke that to you, I'm sure you got something that you got something to say to that effect.
I got something nice. Nice and short and sweet.
Okay, well, let's do that.
He called her on the phone to say that he loved her, and he was thinking that he needed to touch her. The smile she has, he listens. It's like a cool breeze blows his way, and he remembers how the wind kissed his face. It was like she was there. Her kiss has the taste of sweet mango, now blown through the air. The flavor is left on his lips, and he's addicted to it. The sweetness of her lips fills his body with the energy that's needed, and he needs her. The soft touch of her hands as she caresses the back of his neck up to his bald head takes him to another place in his mind, and he knows that she belongs to him. With the distance between them, all he can think about is sweet mangoes and how he marinated in her lips.
Okay, sweet mangoes. All right. Now that y'all have us hot as a motherfucker, okay, look. Gentlemen, the two gentlemen that are here, the authors, Mr. Hank and Mr. I forget the other name of the brother. I'm sorry. Now,
I heard him from the past 30 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. I was just wondering if he was still. I don't even hear breathing. But anyway, what's y'all comments? Because you know, like I said, in about 22 minutes, you guys will have the floor. And but I just want to get your comment on this poetry right now. What do you think?
Well, like I said, I love the voice. You know, and that. That in part, you know, sells it for me as far as poetry, especially when you're dealing with erotica. I do erotic poems, but it's not really geared, you know, I'm not an erotic poet. But like I said, the wordplay and the flow is, you know, it's off the chain, and I'm really enjoying it right now. So, you know, you got my full attention, sweetie.
Yeah, I can appreciate what you're doing as well. Although I'm not a poet, I write erotic short stories. And that will be my next book coming out itself. I have a book of erotic short stories that I'm working on right now. I like the way that her words flow, too. It's like she's being a little subliminal. So that will really catch my attention a lot of the time. And just like you said, her voice is off the chain. You know, it just makes you sit back and try to picture what she looks like. It's like I agree
with that. Which one are you talking about? There's two women that's doing poetry. Are you talking about Cotton or Stacy?
Okay.
So you say she do subliminal. Okay. Stacey, you got him going with the subliminals and shit.
Well,
that's okay.
Yeah.
So with Cotton, she just blatant with her shit. So what do you think about that?
Oh, I can take it either way. You can stimulate my mind as long as you think the right
her
thing.
Mind, she got your mind. She got you fucked up right now.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much both of them off chain.
Okay, because, you know, they sisters. I want to make sure these sisters can get your mind blown. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to see what's up, you know.
I suppose they could do a lyrical menage a trois, like, you know, a triple collaboration with me and the two of them. like kind of going back
really?
And forth or something like that.
God damn, you would do that, huh? You would do that? You would do that?
It would be new, it would
you know,
be new
I'm
territory
lead
for me. It would be new territory for me.
Say
you said it would be new territory for me, but, you know, if I can find two women that's bold enough to go there, let's do it.
Oh, okay. So it don't matter about the color, though.
No matter about the color, no.
Okay. I'm trying to lead up into my second half because we got like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about black women and all this, and white women and everybody and all this different thing. So we're just trying to lead up to that. So that's the reason why I was asking questions, because I want you gentlemen, because I know. Go ahead, Carmen. I know you got something to say. Go ahead.
I'm just curious about everybody that was on the panel last week. Did any of you all receive Facebook messages about last week's show?
Did you?
I got several. And just for the
really?
Record, I'm not going to reply to you on Facebook because Carmen is not an internet gangster. That's not my thing. But I was black yesterday. I'm black today. I'm going to be black tomorrow. I really don't give a damn if you don't like it. I don't know what happened last week. I think someone made a joke about the possibility of me not being black or not seeing as black. And people went crazy. Like, I got all kinds of Facebook messages about my race and what have you. I'm black. Deal with it.
Well, why would they not think that?
They had bits and pieces of information. If you can name a black person that you know in America today who is not of some kind of mixed race background, then you show them to me. Because unless you got off the boat from Africa within this, you know, generation, chances are, if you look back in your family, there's mixed race, right?
Right.
Well, you know, to me, any drop of black it makes you black anyway. So I don't know what. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how that came about because I didn't get none of that. Maybe they just know I'm black or something. I don't know. Anyway, they didn't. Nobody sent me anything. I didn't get anything about last week's show except for the fact that the brothers that are now on the show tonight, they wanted to talk to them last week and they weren't here. And he did tell me the reason why he wasn't here. But we'll get into that later. You know, we got about 17 minutes left in this segment, so I want to give
to
the ladies.
Time limit be damned. We can talk. You know,
well, you know, I want to give, DV, you know, I want to give that second half its full of attention. So what we're going to do is I want to give these ladies one more chance to do two more portraits, you know, a poem, a piece, and then we're going to do a song in between, and then we're going to get right into it. So, and as far as your comment, Carmen, I don't know why you were getting that, and I'm sorry that happened to you, but I didn't get any comments. And I don't know if anybody else on the panel did as far as that. So I'm sorry
no,
if that happened to you.
Yeah, ain't no mistaking me. You know, I'm darker than pretty much all y'all put together. So, you know.
Well, I may not be dark, but hell, I know where I am. I mean, I'm not ashamed of what I am. I mean, you know, but for them to come back at you that way, I don't know what made them come to you that way. And I don't know who it was that came to you like that. So, but anyway, we'll just leave that alone for now. But, ladies, do y'all have another piece of peace?
I actually do, but I was waiting on Miss Cotton. I
want
to hear her again.
They say Chivalry's dead.
Oh, Chivalry's not dead at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
maybe
Cotton, you got something else?
I'll do one more, you know. I'm not... Red likes to consider me an erotic poet, but I'm not just an erotic poet, so I have other stuff, but
she does. She does
sensuous. So I give it to him like that.
Because you do, baby. You can say, eat shit, and it'll sound good.
No, that don't sound good.
No.
The way she says it do. Eat shit.
Only to you,
I like
man.
That.
You got
that's
you.
What I'm saying. Maybe she told you eat shit in a nice way, but any way you say it, it's bad. It's bad.
Oh, I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Okay, I'm going to do It's Morning.
Is Stacey, you still here, right?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Okay. Go ahead, do It's Morning.
It's morning. We lay here basking in the realm of our sexual sense. This right here was meant for just us two. We play sex games and explore, even use our sexual toys. This places for our sexual joy and relate. A ray of sunshine through the window as we role play our different positions. Sexual pleasures on the this right here is competition. See, we compete to see who come first or last. Only one of us can pass this simple test as we do our best. It's morning and I'm still wet from last night. Is the chemist alone? Close the door and turn off the lights. This is about to be our motion picture. Move your body closer. Come a little bit nearer. Kiss me and I'll kiss you back. Can you hit it from the back? It's morning and that ain't sunlight across your face. See, moments like these can't be erased or replaced. For in this morning I'll ride you like I was in a race. Shout along, keep up with my pace. I got first place. It's morning.
All right.
All right.
I don't know what to say on that one, but I'm going to let that be like it is. Stacy.
Yes.
What you got?
This is letter to my editor.
Okay.
My knees are weak and my fingers refuse to write, just hoping and praying for his call one night. I don't know if you can help, just needed to get off my chest. Maybe then I could stop crying and get a good night's rest. The only thing that is, I think of him constantly. I close my eyes at night, and it's him I see. In my heart, I feel it needs to be. Dear editor, I desire him to be my soulmate. Sincerely, me. Letter to my editor.
Wow. See, something like that, and both of y'all are very sensuous with it, even though Cotton doesn't just call herself a erotic poet. But both of y'all, even something as simple as writing a letter to your editor about being weak and shit and your knees and all that, all that to me has that sound of sexuality, and that's not even a word. But anyway, you know, it's there. You know what I'm saying? So if I was that editor and I got it from you like that or in a message or something, I'd be like, damn. let me go find her so I can make sure she's not tired or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I just think it's really good. And I know that you love writing it, and I know Cotton does too, because she's, you know, both of you, y'all really get into it. And I thank y'all for both coming on and doing that, you know. So if y'all have no more poetry right now, I want to go ahead and play a song so we can get into our second half, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Are y'all good with that?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to do this. I want to play this one right here. It's, you know, one of my favorites, so. Thank you. want to get on the chat room. The chat room is open as well. And we're getting ready to get into our second segment, Why Are Black Women Alone? And we're going to be talking to the authors of that book. So sit back and relax as we bring you more of Word Sexy Radio. And we're going to be going right now into it. So, panel, if you're ready, we're going to do our thing right now. We're going to bring the two authors in of the book, Why Are Black Women Alone? And we're going to have them introduce themselves one more time so that everybody that didn't get a chance to hear it in the first part will get to hear it now. And we're going to go ahead and get them to explain what brought them to this subject matter and what brought them to write this book. So, gentlemen, state your names and, just tell us about yourself, what brought you with this book. How'd you get started with it?
Well, my name is Hank Ballard, and the name of the book is actually called Why Black Women Are Alone, not Why Are Black Women Alone. It's called Why Black Women Are Alone. And it answers the question from a male's perspective as to why women can't keep relationships going. But it's never been answered in this style. I mean, if you haven't checked it out, it's really raw. It's really explicit. You know, we're giving it from a male's perspective, not being politically correct. We're not being nice or not being, I guess is the term that they would call it, generous or politically correct, as I said earlier. And so that's basically where it came from. I had a lot of female friends that really wanted to know, what were men thinking about and why were men acting the way they were acting. And I would tell them. When I would tell them, they would get mad. And some of them, I lost some friendships over it. And so I said, why not write a book about it? And, I told Jacquez one night, and he said he was on with it.
Okay, well, the reason why I was asking is because I have had a chance to kind of look through the book. I haven't read the whole book. I know it's an 80-page book, and it was three authors. So I was just wondering if this was a project that you did in school or something like that, or just something you came together on, because it's, three guys with the 80-page pamphlet. I think it's is it considered a book, or is it a self-help book, or what is the category as it has?
We categorize it as self-help. I mean, it helps you. It does help you see things from a different perspective. As we said, with a lot of men, that don't really have any books out that represent them. A lot of books are empowering women and trying to take, a women's side on a lot of issues, but it's not really geared towards men. But I wanted to do a little bit of both. I wanted to do something that men could get into and understand without all of the therapy talk and everything else and all the just quote-unquote, big words that kind of just tended to water down the subject matter. That's why it was so slow. This story is only like 80 pages and only 8 chapters, because I really wanted to just get to the raw content, and just get to a straight, direct answer, with every question that was ever asked, it's like a direct answer for each one. So that's where it all came from.
Okay. Before we let the panel go into questions, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understand that this – like I said, you said you're speaking for all men, or you're just speaking for your respective, because when you said men's point of view. So have you had any research or anything that says that men all agree with what you have written?
No, we're not talking about...
Go ahead.
No, we're not talking about all men. We're not talking about all men. Like, we're not talking about all black women. We never, that's one of the things we stated in the introduction of the book. We're not putting all black women in this category. We're not putting all men in this category. We're talking about the good, decent black men out there. I have a lot of black male friends that got college degrees, that are good guys, that got good hearts, and that are good, decent men. The type of men that a lot of black women really just, you know, say that there aren't any out there. And then there are plenty. And but then they come to me and they say, you know, what, why can't I find this type of woman? Why do these type of women always, they either want me as just their friend or they don't choose me at all. They say that this person's too nice or he's too much of this. You see what I'm saying? It's like a contradiction of, you know, what I was told. You know, the good men were saying that these women want good men in their lives, but when that shows up, they turn it away. They want, you know, they want him as a friend. They want him as a, you know, something. They don't want him as a boyfriend, and they couldn't understand that. So that answered the question for them.
I guess what I'm trying to drive at is what authority, I mean, do you guys have, like, degrees in the subject of psychology of this, or do you, what just made you, I mean, what authority are you using as far as saying that this is what you found? Is this your own experiences, or, and then I'm going to let the panel go after this.
Yeah, this is our experiences and experience of guys that we know and friends. We're not psychologists or doctors. We don't have doctors or anything. We're just regular guys telling it in layman's terms. We're not trying to be all professional with it. We're just trying to put it, break it down to you, because some things are just simple like that. That's the reason why we're doing it like that. We're just regular guys and that, and we're telling from our own experiences and things that we've seen others go through, and stories that other guys told us, and this isn't just black men, this is men, period.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let you finish speaking, but what I want to do after you say your piece is I'm going to have the panel. They're going to introduce who they are, and then they're going to have, if they have questions that they want to tell you or ask you, they'll do it at that time. But go ahead and say what you was going to say.
We're not therapists, and I think that's one of the things that made it so significant is that you have all these doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists that were coming and making these books, and I'm not taking anything away from them because some of them are pretty good, but I wanted to, me being a regular guy and just, you know, living that certain lifestyle along with Jacquez, is just, you know, your average guy has average questions that he would like to ask, and, you know, and just have simple answers, not these theoretical, you know, doctrine questions where they really can't understand it, and like you kind of lose the attention span of the people that's asking it. They want a straightforward answer. So, I mean, no, we're not doctors at all. But I think that's a plus for us because.
Okay. Well, one more question I want to do, and I gotta let the panel get in. Is I think I read in your bio somewhere or in the book somewhere that you guys had some connection with the guy who wrote The Art of Macking. So, I was just wondering how that had a piece with what you're doing. Did that have anything to do with any of the experience level that you were doing? Were you using some of the aspects from the gentleman that wrote the book and, you know, you're connected with him? Did that have anything to do on what you were trying to encounter with women and maybe it didn't work or something or what? How does that have a play to it?
Well, I don't know the guy personally, but he actually, I was looking at this thing on TV, on MTV, and I saw the book, and a friend of mine at work, where I used to work, you know, he told me about it, and not so much the book itself, but the content in which it was written, and how the type of language that he used, as far as how plain it was and how understandable it was, it made more sense it was more of a common sense thing as opposed to, as I said, you know, this empty jargon that tends to just go in a lot of books to just, I guess, fill up pages. It made more sense to me that way. So the inspiration kind of came from that.
You know, he was a pimp, right? You know he was a pimp, right? That's where he gets his experience from. Did you read all?
No,
this?
No. I mean, I'm not glorifying a pimp. I'm not glorifying the lifestyle at all.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, he's a guy that this is what he does all the time. He goes out and, you know, he goes and does this. He even has a book out on women, how they can become sugar, you know, to get sugar daddies and all that as well. So I was just wondering if that was one of your, you know, something that had something to do with the basis of how you did that. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to let the panel go in. Panel members, starting with the ladies, you go ahead and state who you are, and if you have a question, after you state who you are that's on the panel, then we'll go ahead and get into the questions for these gentlemen.
I don't have a question. This is Cotton.
Okay.
My thing is because I hear the complaints all the time from men and from women. My thing is that if you're – I mean, you can't just say it's black women, because white women do it too. If you're with a woman and you're sexually frustrated, or you feel like she's belittling you, or you feel like she's only using you for your money, why the hell you just don't get out? I mean, and I'm asking because women do this too, but we're talking about this particular topic, and you're giving it from a man's perspective. Men are the most, can be the most rawest, heartless people in the world, and will tell you, you know, you need to man up, take that shit as a loss, and keep it pushing. But you would stay with a woman who would treat you that way and then later complain about it. I hear it all the time because I'm a writer, and I have my readers are of course male, and so I read some of your you know, a little bit of your book, and it talks about how you talked about the movie that was made. I love my wife. He's a man was sexually frustrated. Well, why didn't he just leave instead of complaining about it? It seems as though people want to sit and complain about it instead of fixing the problem, because if you complain it, you ain't solving nothing. And so now we get to this point right here where we got men on this side and women on this side, because that wasn't a good damn woman in the first place, and you knew it, but you stayed anyway. Just like that wasn't a good man in the first place, you knew it, and you stayed anyway.
So, okay, what's the question?
I didn't have a question.
Okay. Okay. It was a comment. Okay. 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 I understand. I thought she was asking a question. I thought she said she had a question. Okay. All right. Well, I like that. That's good. Okay. All right. So, the next, Carmen, you want to speak now?
I think they should be allowed to respond, though. I mean, she had a statement. They might have a counter for it. I don't.
Okay. Well, gentlemen.
Yeah, I definitely have a response.
We actually agree with what you said. When we mentioned in the book, if this woman is not putting in the effort, that's trying to put forth the steps that's meant to keep her relationship or save her relationship with her man, by all means, leave. We speak on that all the time. We're not telling you to stick around, but I think the reason why, just like in the movie, Why I Think I Love My Wife, a lot of things that are wrote, like in Hollywood nowadays, I notice a lot are geared toward women. Because in reality, a real man wouldn't sit back and put up with that kind of relationship. He was being moved on, just like we said in the book. When he had the chance to cheat, he did. That's not reality. That's a good idea, and that's a nice thought. But in reality, he would have cheated because he's not getting what he needs at home. And then just like I say, too, at the same time, sometimes it can be a man or a woman's fault if they're not getting pleased sexually, because a lot of times we're not honest with one another. We sit down and we talk about things. We like to beat around the bush because we don't want to get labeled as a freak or a weirdo or something because it's something that we into and that this person may not be into. So you don't tell them. Therefore, she doesn't know. In turn, she doesn't do it. Now you're sexually frustrated. Now you turn around and you cheat just because you weren't getting something at home that you didn't tell her that you wanted in the first place. That's the same thing as for a woman. You have women they want to get out and date these guys because basically the sex is good. Right now, Mary J. Blige has a number one hit out called Miss Perron. The first line in that song says, bad guys are no good, the good guys are no fun. What kind of shit is this? So why would you get behind this guy? And she basically says the reason why she's with this man is because he's fucking so good. That's exactly what she thinks.
Okay, so now, we got a question coming from the chat room. Is why can't men admit they make fucked up choices also?
Oh, we're not saying that men don't make fucked up choices. We're not saying that at all. You know, we talk about that in the book. But like I said, you know, one thing I have noticed is like whenever we try to make a point or try to explain as to why women do certain things and men do certain things, it tries to get turned back around on us. I'm not saying that men don't screw up. I'm not saying that men don't have flaws. I'm not saying that I don't. God knows I do. But what I'm saying is women have a problem, I would say, in my experience, they have more of a problem admitting those flaws than anything. You know, at least a man could be honest with them.
Okay, wait. All right, this is my question. This is DV. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I didn't have a chance to read the book, and that's mostly because it was like, you know, I felt like $11 was too much to pay for 80 pages. So, you know, that's on me. But what I did do is I went through Amazon, and perhaps they just gave me the most inflammatory parts of the book. But this is basically what I got from everything that you were saying. ultimately, as much as in the intro you claim that you weren't talking all about all black women, but at no point in the book did you say some or few. You just said black women. So essentially, you claim that you weren't talking about black women.
Wait, let me finish.
At no point, like every part that I read, and like I said, maybe they just wanted to give me the inflammatory parts. Every part that I read basically said that black women had a monopoly on gold digging, black women had a monopoly on attitude, black women this, black women that. And at no point was there some, a few, you know, it didn't, you didn't specify what. You just said black women. So ultimately, the parts that I read said this, you know, it said that, you know, everything that you basically talk about, you generate these myths about, you know, how black women do this and black women do that. But the truth of the matter is, as black men, we lead women to believe that our heart is between their legs. And then when they give us their heart, then we tell them, oh, well, you're no good because I got it. You know, so I didn't see any of that defense anywhere in there. It's basically what women do wrong, but it's not taking accountability on the things that we lead them to believe. And when they do these things, how, you know, how we treat them afterwards. Because it used to be the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So then we had a whole crop of women who knew how to cook. And now every time we turn around, it's your heart is between your legs. So when they open their legs for us, then we turn our backs on them. We wonder why, oh, you know, why do they have these attitudes? So, I mean, at what point do you guys start taking responsibility for the way that you may have treated women in the past instead of blaming women for the things that they have done?
Well, also, and I'm gonna give you a chance to comment on that. But let me say this real quick too, and then I'll let you go ahead and comment because I know you want to. Also, I think what's messing a lot of people up too with this is it's not so much all your message, but the website you have, all the pictures that you have on the website is a black man with a white woman. I mean, a lot of stuff that you're saying in this book is like, okay, you want a woman that will be bisexual and you can come in her mouth and she'll swallow and all this. I mean, how does that, I mean, is that something that black women don't do or something? Because, I mean, I know some black women that do that, but, I mean, it just seems to me that a lot of the stuff was saying leave black women alone and get with, you know, if it's not going to work, the best answer is to get a white woman. And I know that's not what you meant to say, so go ahead and comment.
No, First of all, let me say this. Whatever you made, you are absolutely right. You read the inflammatory parts because we say all throughout the book that we are not talking about all black women. That's absolutely not true. That would be ignorant of us to say, you know, all black women do this. We don't know every black woman, so there's no way in the world we would ever be stupid enough to make a comment like that.
It wasn't all out of bitterness. The book wasn't a bitter book, man.
It didn't say all. It just said black women. So
yeah, but it seemed like it was brought out of bitterness.
No, not out of bitterness at all. Not in the slightest. Now, I admit, a lot of black men we talked to, they were angry about a certain thing, and we tried to capture that. But as far as just being bitter and trying to just make this continuation, talking about, you know, white women are better than this, we never said that. We never said that white women are better. Like I said, if you read the whole book and check it out, you will understand it a lot better. If you read just certain parts about it, like the gentleman said before, there were certain inflammatory parts, but there is no way in the world that we would say all black women do this. We got to give props to black women.
No. In one of the pages, it specifically says that there are other races that deal with gold digging, but black women have it down. You know what
I'm saying?
Exactly.
I read that as well. I mean, I read some of the books. I read some of your books. So I know some of the things that are there. I know other things as well. But like I said, Amazon is betraying your book. If that's not what you're trying to put out, Amazon is betraying your book in such a manner that it makes it like there's three bitter black
women.
Wait.
No. We are all adults and we are all writers. Amazon took excerpts out of your book. They couldn't put
that's
the shit on there if you didn't say it. You wrote it. They just highlighted it. So don't back down from it. That's my thing. If that's going to be your argument, then rock with that argument to the end. That's cool. I don't agree with it, but we're not going to put it on Amazon. Amazon didn't create it. Amazon didn't write the book. You wrote the book. They just took it out of it and pasted it on there.
We're not trying to fault anything. We're just putting out there that
he only read a part of it. So he took things out of context, just like he said we were talking about all black women. We say many times in the book that we're not talking about all, we're not talking about half. We just say we're talking about some. The point of our book is that we were basically telling the father that some black women
do
and mess it up with a good.
Give us some examples. You got your book with you right now, right? Hold it. Listen.
That's not even what the title says.
This is what we want you to do right now. You got your book with you right now. Read us some examples of what you're saying that is not discouraging or not just putting down black women. Because, I mean, the name of the title of the book is what's really, you know, I mean, what else can you think? Even if you don't even pick up the book. You know, so can you give us some examples of something that you have in your book that does not just, you know, show the inflammatory side of it? Because that would be good.
But even on your website, you know, it's kind of inflammatory.
Well, do you have something that you can read for us?
Not everybody's talking at once. I can't figure out, like, Carmen's talking and everybody else is talking, so I'm trying to make out what everybody's saying. Anyway,
okay,
one of the things we say in the book is like when we communicate, for example, like I said, in the beginning in the intro, we are not talking about all black women. Well, like Jacquea said, we're not trying to dodge the questions or anything. What he said was that you're only reading some of the sentences, some of the paragraphs, some of the issues. You're not reading the entire thing. You would have to get the whole book to read that. So
can you read us something from the book so we can see what you're talking about?
I can give you an excerpt because I wrote it myself. Because this all breaks down to communication. Where we say
But we wanted to hear what you actually wrote in the book. That's what the people are asking me on chat, and the people that are listening, they want to actually hear what you wrote, not what you're explaining. Because, you know, we want to hear exactly what you wrote. And it's not about getting mad or anything like that. We just want to get your opinion. This is your opinion.
Okay,
I want you to be able to say, can you read it?
Inside of our intro, it says, there are some black women out there who take care of their business and do what
I hear what you're saying. Outside of that intro, and I said that, I said in the intro, it states that there are some black women. Outside of that intro, at no point does it say some or many or all or a few. It just states black women. In the intro, you guys say, you know, yeah, we're not talking about all. You're basically talking about some. But as you write the book and through those words, at no point do you delineate some from all. And that's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you what you can do. Let me get in for a second. Okay. This is what I'd like you to read. The part that I read was how you explaining what you like in a woman. Can you read from that piece? This has nothing to do with what type. You were talking about what you want from a woman. I don't know which one of you were writing that piece, but there was a part in it where you were talking about the woman, what you like from a woman, what you like for her to do. Can you read that?
Okay, I said what I like in a female, I was describing from a physical standpoint. You know, I like tall women. I like big breasts, voluptuous women. I like women that are a sexual nature, that have a dual sexual nature. I was just being honest. When someone asked, you know, why do we write this section of the book? We answered it in return. We said, you know, we were just being honest about what we were looking for. You know, she's
okay,
got
to
be.
Okay, so can you read that? You said she has to be.
I have a printout, but it's not the entire book. That's why I was just trying to find certain sections. I couldn't exactly tell you what I wrote all the way because I don't have
a copy. You don't have a copy of your own. You don't have a copy. Brother, you don't have a copy of your book.
Okay,
let me say this, and I'm going to let you explain, and I'm going to let the ladies talk, because we want y'all to be able to talk. The part that I was talking about was how you were saying that you want a woman that is bisexual, one that will do this. You know, I mean, I just was trying to get you to explain that piece, because what does that have to do with why black women are alone? I just wanted to understand what that had to do with.
That has nothing to do with the story. Just like Hank said,
but it's in your book. That's what I'm saying. It's in your book.
What we're asked about it
when we're asked about it, we put it in there as in to show what it is we're looking for in a woman, because when we look like we're talking to you all now, we get asked that question all the time. When you talk about all this, when you talk about all this, what do you look for in a female? What do you want in a woman? So we figured we just put out the middleman and put that in. And
okay.
It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with the book at all. That actually falls up under our bio. It falls under who we are. It has nothing to do with it.
Well, that's not where I read that at. It wasn't in the bio. It was an explanation of what you were looking for in a woman. Now, that wasn't part of the bio. But, okay. Anybody else have questions?
Thank you, Carmen.
I mean, my thing is, it'll always be that there's nothing wrong with preference. We all have a preference. We all have something we like, and we all have something that, you know, we kind of turn our backs on. But what disparages me about this whole thing is that, you know, rather than write an uplifting book, you wrote a book tearing down, you know, women, you know, whether they be white or whether they be black or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm still waiting on, you know, the Asian book where Asian dudes talk about the things they don't like in Asian women. I'm really still waiting on the book where white dudes talk about what they don't like about white women. So my question is, based on that, simply on that, you know, why would you kind of write a book tearing down black women rather than say, look, you know, let's have an open discussion about how we can, you know, how we can better ourselves and how you know, we can better each other. That would have been a great book.
And yeah. Well, first of all,
Like you said, y'all don't have doctorates, y'all don't have PhDs, so from a straight man's point of view, you know what I'm saying, it might be looked upon more favorably.
No. Well, what I'm saying is this. First of all, I can't speak for any white man or Asian woman. I'm only speaking as a black man dealing with black women. So, you know, and I say, as I said before, you know, it's raw and it's explicit, but is it negative as far as why we tearing down black women? Absolutely not. As I said before, you know, this is actually just to bring up open forum, open content, to let people discuss things. It's not about tearing anyone down. They wanted a male perspective as to why men do this, why men do that. Well, we simply answer that question. Now, some people agree with how we answer it. Some people don't. You guys may not be feeling it, and that's perfectly okay. We never asked anybody to just agree with everything we were saying or even how we were saying it. But this is how a lot of black men feel, and we were not bashing all black women, despite what you read.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You said you didn't write anything negative. You're not bashing black women. DV just gave us an excerpt, and we all read those excerpts, so I know exactly what he's talking about. But he gave us an excerpt where you said that other racist women knew gold digging, but black women had it on lock. Explain to me how that's not negative. Please tell me how I should view that as a positive reflection on me as a black woman.
Okay.
First of all, when we speak on that in the book, we just like we say before, if you're a black woman and you don't do any of these things and you don't act this way, we're not speaking to you. We're not talking to you, and we hope that you don't take offense to it. But the ones that do act this way know who they are, because black women themselves speak about these women all the time. We're not the only ones doing it. They sit around and they talk about each other worse than we do.
You're not answering my question. You're deflecting. You are deflecting. I ask you a direct question. You made the statement that black women have gold digging on lock. Now, I'm asking you to explain to me why that statement is not negative. I know I'm not a gold digger. I don't need you to tell me that. Carmen is good. But you made the statement. And then you want to say, I didn't say anything negative about black women. So I'm asking you to explain to me how that statement is positive. That's my question.
I didn't say that we didn't say anything negative about black women. I said that we didn't say anything negative about all black women.
Well, I got an excerpt that just came up that I'm reading right here.
In fact, like, wait, hold up. It says verbatim, another problem with black women is you have to work way too hard to even get with them. Black women feel like you owe them something just for even talking to them. They put up this stuck up act, turn it down all men, and then go home alone and holler men ain't shit. Black women have a list of must-meet qualities that benefit them and only them. It's never what I can do for him, it's what he can do for me. How can he make my life better? What can I get out of him? Now, you said you attribute this to black women. You didn't say most. You didn't say some. You didn't say some. You didn't say a few. You said black. Another problem with black women.
Well, let me get in there and say something right here. Let me ask you this. when we said this in the intro, now how many times do we have to say it before you get the point?
If you're going to do a book pertaining to one section of the population, whether it be white men, black men, if you're going to do a book about yourselves, you can only say me, in my opinion. If you're going to do a book about black women, you have to say, look, the black women we know, or the black women that we'd had in this study, or the black women, you know, from the men that we talked about. Right now, you have grouped every black woman and say they all do these things.
No, sir.
Yeah, you did. Well, let me. Can I jump in for just a second? I'm gonna give you a chance to answer because I need to moderate this. But right here, this is what you said, and this is coming out of your book, and this is out of the beginning, I guess, in the prologue or whatever. This book also represents for the good black men out there that get taken advantage of all the time by these two-timing black women. These are good black men that really do love and care about the women in their lives, but these black women have always taken advantage of that. They either use them for their money or resources, or they keep them on platonic friends while they run around town with the guy that they know is going to dog them out. Many good black men are frustrated, tired, and confused by black women's behavior, how they're always saying they want a good man, but when they get one, they either dog him out or find some reason why they don't like him. We'll get into the many excuses later in this book, as you said, and this is from you, Mr. Ballard. One of the inspirations for this book was by Tariq K. Flex, the guy that wrote The Art of Macking. A friend of mine came up to me one day when I got off work and told me about this, blah, blah, blah. But see, basically, like I said, if you're not targeting black women, you know, this book is definitely lying for you, or you're lying, or somebody is not right, because it's saying that the book is, you know, you're saying you're not talking to black women, but in here you say women for many years, especially black women, have put out countless books, magazines, and many movies about having good men and stuff, Wedding Excel and all that. You use those examples. But then you say that it's just black women. I don't see anything here saying women. It says black women. So are you targeting black women or are you not? Because it says, you know, they get no, they you know, it's saying that to me, what I'm reading, and I don't know if it's just Amazon picking certain spots like you said, but anyway, they're saying that you're saying in your book that black women are the problem. So can you please tell us, if that's not what you're saying, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is this. As we said, we're not speaking of all black women. It's in the book.
But how can you say it? But the book is saying.
Wait.
I mean,
you ask him a question. Let him speak. Make him speak.
Let me finish. And like I said, that statement is not geared toward all black women. And we say that now. You have the opinion that, hey, you should have said that every sentence or every paragraph. I tend to disagree. If I say it three or four times in the book, if you haven't got it, that's too bad. But like I said, some black women use good black men for these references. They do that. I'm not saying all of them. I don't know all, as we said. But that's not the case here. You see what I'm saying?
I did not say that. And some Asian women, some Hispanic women, and some Native American women.
Listen to me, everybody. We're not saying that they don't. We're not saying that they don't, and that they don't have issues, and that they don't have problems. But here's the problem that I'm dealing with. Everybody's getting angry or upset or for whatever reason, and I understand that. And that's
actually
that,
we're
that's
not
cool.
angry. I'm not angry.
I'm not angry either, but I see the frustration. It seems like everybody is getting real technical about how it was written. Oh, you should have said this sentence here and should have referred to that. If you read it and we say we're talking about some black women, that refers to the whole book. We are not attacking all black women. So that's
but the
like,
name
that
of the book
is a major.
Is Why Black Women Are Alone. The name of the book is
yeah.
Why Are
Black Women.
Black Women Alone. So how can we,
I mean,
how are we
look,
supposed to look at it? You should have said,
like,
why are some women alone? Or why are, you know, I mean, you specifically touched a particular piece of the race, because everybody's in the same race, but you said why black women are alone. And then you go into about why black men date outside their race. You know, and you know, I mean, what are you saying? If you're not saying all black women, then what are you saying? That's all I'm trying to get you to explain your book, because you wrote
no,
your book.
No,
so we just want you to explain it. That's it.
I want to say something.
Okay? Y'all done? Can I get in?
No, I wasn't done, but go ahead.
Okay, please let me say something, because I've been trying to say something for 15 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
So in the book I'm reading, and I'm going to read something from the book, if you don't mind.
Right? Go ahead.
It says, we didn't say
that white women, Asian women, et cetera, didn't act that way. There are white women, Asian women, et cetera, who are just as corrupt and scandalous as black women. But there are scandal and flawed ways pale in comparison to a black woman's scandal and corruption. We are speaking in general terms about all the races in this book. We know there are some exceptions to the rules of everything we discuss, and we know you black women will try to exploit that in every single way just to absolve yourself. So I saw that, and I wanted to read that part because we're focusing on certain aspects of the book, and I'm not saying that what the title, I don't agree with to single us out because we're feeling I feel like you're attacking me as a black woman who has dealt with a lot of crap from a lot of black men. And to put this out there, my question is, you know, because I'm not angry. I'm not angry at all. My question to you guys who wrote this book is, what issue is this going to resolve by putting a book out there like this instead of opposed to trying to find ways for us to come together as a unit and try to figure out how we cannot be this way? How can women not be the way that they are and some men be the way that they are? I'm just trying to understand what is this going to solve by putting a book like this, except that there are a lot of black women out there pissed off as hell right now. I'm just not one of them. I just wanted to read that part. But you did say that you didn't say that the other races aren't like that, but you are speaking about black women. So I understand that because that's what you're used to dealing with. But I just wanted to ask, what is this going to resolve by us having this kind of a book out there to yet again demean us and put us down and make us look bad? You know what I'm saying? So that's my question.
Okay, my answer is this. One of the things we wanted to do with the book, I mean, we wanted it to piss people off. We wanted it to make people angry and agitate. But ultimately, we wanted to get people to talk about it. One of the things we don't do as a black couple, as I learned, is that we don't talk about a lot of things. Especially a lot of black men that I've talked to and dealt with, they've come to me after reading this book and said they felt this way, but they were scared to say it. But that's, you know, but it was taught as men to not talk, not speak, not express ourselves. And when we do express ourselves, we get condemned for it. So this book, as raw as it is, and like I said, nobody has to agree with it. We're not asking anybody to like it. But like it, love it, hate it, you're going to talk about it. You're going to bring up issues like Carmen brought up, like DV brought up. You know, it's going to make you talk. It's going to make you speak about things. We're not going to agree on everything here. You might not like how we said what we said, and I understand that, and I agree with it. But ultimately, to answer your question, it's going to make people talk and communicate, even if you have to talk in anger, if you're pissed off in anger. If you think it was demeaning and you took it that way, okay, so be it. Some people took it as informative. Some people took it as humorous. Some people took it. I'm not out to make you see it a certain way. You see it how you see it. But ultimately, it's going to make you talk about it. And that's the whole point of the entire book. If nobody's talking about
it. But in talking about it, what is it solving between, because we're already at odds with one another as black men and women. We already have that controversy going on. So I'm just trying to understand, how is this going to help us solve our issues as being divided already? Because we have a lot of that already.
Yeah, because there was no compare and contrast that I saw. And you know, like I said, it's not the doggy or anything like that. It's just, there was no compare and contrast.
No.
What I mean by that is if you're going to state there's a problem, because you've got a chapter in there that talks about the problem, but there's no answer on how to fix all this. It's just saying that they're fucked up. Whatever women. If you ain't talking about just black women, you're just saying they're fucked up. And this is what we found. So I'm just trying to figure out, how do you fix it? And I think that's what Cotton is saying. You know, how do you fix it? Okay, you want to get people pissed. Okay, that's great. But have a solution or some kind of way that we can work on trying to get ourselves to get better at our relationships, instead of just saying this is what we found that was wrong and we just want to give it as the normal man saying it or whatever. But I mean, I just, you know, and that's just my opinion.
The book was made to make you communicate with one another. And a lot of times, that's what revolution comes from, communicate. You can't say that how it's going to help the black community, because we're not the whole black community. This is for two people that's in a relationship. You sit down and you talk things out. You let each other know what your life and dislike, what's going on with you all's problems. It's your job to sit down and compromise this. It's your job to fix this. We're just putting it out there as an icebreaker. That's all it is.
Yeah, but if you should have a solution.
We don't know, listen, this is what we're saying. We don't know everybody's problem. And if you want to talk to us about a solution, the ultimate line, like Jacquez, it's an icebreaker to get people to talk. This is the problem, okay? Now you want to come talk to us about the solution, ask us a question or anything else, you know, would you like to solve, you know, hey, how do I solve this? If I'm doing this wrong, how do you solve this? But that's the whole
point. Do you have a solution? Are you going to come out with a book that has a solution? Or how are you going to get the solution?
Hello?
I hear you.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. He got you.
Okay,
but I was just trying to get him.
He
said the solution. Where's the solution at? And then, DB, you can ask your question.
All right.
Go ahead and answer the question.
No, I thought you had a solution. You said, how are we going to get a solution? It's up to us to come up with our own solution?
As a writer, with you guys being writers, as I am, I'm always, because I focus on relationships is what I do. I notice that there's a lot of bad out there. It's bad in women just like it's bad, you know, there's bad in men. And I believe that the fault is equal, unfortunately. But how can you say some of the things that you say about women being the way that they are if you go back to years ago when women are being raped and abused and dogged out? And I mean, you got to think about, this is where some of their anger comes from, and they're raising their children by themselves and they're going through that. This is where some of their anger is coming from. And I'm not saying that you're not right in some of the things that you say about women, because there are some fucked up women out there, just like there are some fucked up men out there. But to put a book like this out with no way to say, as a black man, I don't want to see this going on anymore. We need to figure out what to do, or at least put that in the end of the book, or come up with something to say we need a solution.
Because you know, there's pieces in here where you talk about buy your own drinks and all this, and ungratefulness, and you know, all this stuff. I mean, I just don't see how that's going to help. Go ahead, DD.
And, you know, I agree with, you know, everything that you fellas did, is y'all started a war. And then after the war started, y'all say, okay, now let's have a conversation. It's kind of hard to have a conversation after you done started the war. You know what I'm saying? You kind of move backwards there. So, I mean, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with conversation. But like they said, if you're going to write an inflammatory book, if you're going to write a book, you know, kind of denigrating one person, you have to write a solution on how to make it better or how to get better.
Absolutely.
Without being condescending. Because there's a lot of that book that is condescending towards simply, you know, black women, you know. And that's, I think, the problem that everybody's having. It's not the fact that you guys wrote the book. It's that you're very condescending, you know, during the process.
Right, and there's a question also coming from the.
I see it as a
little
different, though, not even just condescending, but without any research. There's nothing to back that up. I mean, there's nothing that you say that I couldn't say about someone else. Like, this is, it reeks to me of personal bitterness, and as a writer, that bothers me, because we have a responsibility to research our subjects. And you put yourself out there as an expert. You didn't put this in the fiction category. You didn't call it an autobiography. And to me, it reads like an autobiography. It's your experiences with these women. But you put it in the self-help category, as though you have this enlightenment and you are now an expert on black women and how they behave in relationships. And I'm not saying you can't be an expert on black women and how they behave in relationships, but you haven't given me anything to latch on to that lets me know that you are somehow insightful into how black women approach relationships and why that is causing them to be alone. Instead, it's just negative stereotype after negative stereotype based on the what? Maybe 40 black women that you've dated over your life. So there's 4 million of us.
Okay. And that's really good. I agree with you, Carmen. Now there is also a question, gentlemen, that's coming from the chat room. And I don't know if they're being just funny or not, but they was asking, are you mad at Tyler Perry as well? Because I guess some of the things that he's doing. But anyway, I just wanted to throw a little humor in there. But, yeah, I just think, and like, and first of all, let me say this, and I'm going to let everybody else, because I know everybody has a lot to say. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let people go ahead and say. But my thing is why, I mean, you know, you wrote this, and there's no solution. I mean, and like you said, to me, I guess the objective was to get people upset and stuff. But I think that, you know, even if you rewrote the book and came out with a little piece in there that kind of talks about how we can fix the issue, it would be better. Because right now, like you said, you did put it in a self-help category. Even though you said you're not an expert, you're just regular guys, okay, but you put yourself in an expert's position by writing something on at an authoritative mode. You see what I mean? Nobody's trying to attack you. Nobody's trying to get on you guys. We're just saying, when you put something out like this, you got to have some research done, and you got to have some backup what you're saying, and you need to say both sides of it. You don't just say one side. You got to have both sides of it. That's why I was talking about compare and contrast. You need to be able to explain, okay, this is happening because of this, but if we did this or we did that, you know, give us something that we can use to help us so that we can get out of this dilemma. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, people may not like you, but at least you have something to back it up, you know, proof. Like
right,
Thomas said,
exactly.
Research.
And that's what we got to have. Yeah.
Hello.
No, I'm not disagreeing with what any of you guys
yes,
are saying. I'm like, you guys hear me?
It's Melody. I just want to talk in a minute.
Go ahead, Melody. After he says his piece, you speak, okay?
Okay.
Right. You want me to speak? You want me to go ahead?
No, go ahead, gentlemen. Go ahead and finish, and then Melanie's going to come in.
Okay. What I was going to say is, like I said, it's not for everybody. And like I said, some people get it, some people don't. You guys feel like it's, you know, going on the defensive and being bitter. Some people saw it as informative. You know, people call it self-help. Some people call it informative. Some people look at it as, oh, well, these guys are mean and they bitter and they got issues. And, like, I mean, you don't really know me, so you can't really say that. But I can tell you, you know, right hand to God that I'm not like that. But like I said, you know, I agree with you guys. It should be there. No, listen, there should be a solution. But like I said, that was not the point of this book. Our book was to just get a point of view from a male's perspective. Now, we say in the book, we are not relationship experts. We are regular guys.
You put yourself in a category by labeling it a self-help book. You should have just said it was just an essay or something because, you know, it's not.
Section,
if you're going to put yourself in that category.
What section of the book have essays, man? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, first of all, it's 80 pages with three guys writing it. So to me, it was like a project you did in college or something. But anyway, go ahead, Melanie.
I'm enjoying the show. And I figured this is kind of how it would be, but I took some notes because kind of that's what I do just to make my point so that I don't drift off. And I think it does piggyback off of what Carmen was stating, and that in today, especially with self-publishing, you know, with the large audience of people who have access to things like this, it's not that media is bad enough with perpetrating positive black relationships or positive black beauty, black whatever. Whatever we try to get across, you know, underground, you know, it's kind of smacked down in the media's eyes because it's just we've just never been good enough. So when you kind of have to deal with that, and then you have to read, you know, and it is, like you say, it reads more to me like a very long blog posting or opinionated piece where here are no interviews, no videos, no statistics. There's really
no research.
No meat. There's no meat. And so, yeah, you probably could take the bulk of this book as, you know, just a rant because there, you know, this is lacking a solution. But going to the website, it seems to be you could connect the dots and say that the solution is interracial. You know, if you like, you say you go to the what you read that. And then you go to the website, and there's the answer. All these pictures of interracial couples who are happy and loving and kissing each other, which is fine in and of itself. But I kind of feel like, you know, what DB was saying about, you know, starting a war and then want to have a conversation, you know, these statements are very intrusive, very matter-of-factly, and there's just no meat to back it up. So, you know, what do you do with something like this, you know, outside of argue about it or get people really riled up about it? I don't see any good. If you're not interested in marrying a black woman, then what is the point of writing the book? in a sense. You're hurting a lot of people, and you got a lot of people who are not black women now thinking this is just one more facet of the complicated, angry black woman.
I totally agree.
Is that what question was? You asking a question? Did you have a question or?
Yeah, my question was, Were you putting it out there as a man? Was it out there as a man looking to even marry a black woman? I mean, were you angry because you were really trying, or are you just angry because the guys that you knew were being dogged by black women? And so here comes the blank, assessment of us.
No, because
when you go to the website, it's white, it's black and white. Do you believe the solution to these problems that you've stated is just leaving black women altogether? Because if I were to put those two together by going to your website and then reading what you have here, that is one of the conclusions that I could come to. So is that what you're trying to say without really saying it? Is it, hey, black man, just forget about it. Go get you a nice non-black woman, white woman, et cetera, et cetera.
No, absolutely not. That is not what we're saying. We're not telling everybody to just go and run off. Now, if you interpreting it like that, I can't help how you interpret it.
It is one way to be interpreted because it is. You go to the website,
right,
and
right.
Here it is. You don't have
Can you answer me
the question, what is your point of having the interracial pictures of couples
on the site?
What was that? What is that supposed to say to me after reading Why Are Black Women Alone? Because it does come to the conclusion that you should just leave black women alone. Leave them by themselves. That is what you're coming to. So
the reason why that there are interracial couples on those pages is because basically, just like I said, Why Are Black Women Alone? We're answering a question. We've been asked so many times, why do black men go outside their race? Let me ask you this.
What gives y'all the authority to answer the question for every black man?
We're not speaking for every black man.
I kind of got a better question.
That people are coming to you to ask the question, so I'm just trying to figure it out.
Here's my question. And very briefly, if the sole book that you have out is like Why Black Women Are Alone, there are no black women on your page. So it kind of,
And what about the mothers at birth? What about the mothers at birth? They're black. The mothers at birth were black, right?
Okay, we're not getting into that, That's like me writing an erotica book, and then I got cartoons on my webpage. You know what I'm saying? What the hell? So it's just kind of like, if you're going to write a book about, why black women are alone, you may want to have some single black woman shots on your website.
If that's what the message is, but to me the message is not that I'm trying to get with the black woman. It is just this black women are too much. So here's my solution. That is a very valid solution, and that's what I think I could draw from it as well.
And like you said, it's not just one person or anything. And I'm not cutting you off, Millie. But my thing is if that's not what you're trying to portray, brothers, y'all have betrayed that. I'm sorry.
Well, there have been people.
We're just being honest with you.
I respect everybody's opinion 100%. 100%. I mean, it's not the first interview we've done, so I respect everybody's opinion. So,
nobody's trying to dog you out.
No, let me finish speaking. I understand what you guys are saying 100%. And, that's the first question I've ever been told about the pictures on the website. It's kind of irrelevant, in my opinion. But I'm saying, like I said, that is your guys' opinion. I can't argue with that. I'm not going to sit here and say, that's not what we meant and such and such and such and all that. If you took it that way, that's how you took it. But that's not the message that we were trying to send, that every black man should go get a white woman. You don't even say that in the book.
Let me ask this real quick. The cover, okay, you have on your cover, and I'm looking at the cover, you have a Latino woman on the cover. Why didn't you put a black woman on the cover? I mean...
I'm looking at the website. The woman is black. Okay, she's black.
She has white. She's interracial. She's not a complete black woman.
Well,
that's not right. That's not true.
She can be an interracial cover.
I'm just saying, look at the website. I'm putting what you put out there, man. I'm looking at what you put out there.
No, I'm not. That's a matter of opinion. I mean, where did you get that?
Why not put the chocolate woman? Why not put a chocolate woman on it?
Oh man, because then we'd be stereotyping that. Like, why gotta be a chocolate woman? You know, what,
I know.
Yeah, women got a problem.
It's gonna be something. Exactly. It's gonna be something.
But this is my thing, and I feel like this. Ultimately, it's kind of like everybody here, just about everybody here has a book, you know, and you can't be closed-minded after you wrote your book, you know, to what other people are saying. And you guys are kind of like, look, if that's what you're saying, then that's what you is, but that's not the message. The thing is we're not, you want to believe that we're trying to tear you down when we're not. The fact of the matter is that we're all black writers here. You know, and if we see something wrong, we need to say it. Like y'all said, if you see something wrong, you need to say it. But we're not constantly providing the headache. We're also providing solution. The fact is that you're the one that wants to be stubborn about it. You know, I have no ill will towards you. But what I'm saying is this. And every time we said something, you know, you kind of told us it was up to our, that's our interpretation, or that's what we saw, and that's what other people say. Like, look, I read a book where they changed the main character's name 3 times in the same book, and somebody said, this book is awesome. So there's always going to be people out there who tell you your book is the shit. They're going to tell you up and down. But speaking to people who have written books is a completely different thing. We're going to see those flaws, and we're going to ask you to take care of those. Why? Not because we want to see you fail, but because we want to see you succeed. And if you're going to write a book, you know, especially about black women, you know, don't just provide a problem, provide a solution so that we can all get behind it and not just you fighting the world.
I guess, you know what it reminds me of? What bothers me, what really, really bothers me is like what DV is saying. You want to pass it off as our opinion or our not understanding where you're coming from, and you won't address the real issues. It reminds me of when the bell curve was published. The book that said basically that black people are naturally not as smart as everybody else. And there was this big hoopla about it, but they were PhDs and they included facts and statistics in it. Now, it took some more PhDs to come behind them and dispute those facts. But there's a methodology when you do research, and you wrote a self-help book. Like, I feel like that's what you're not getting. I write fiction, so I'm allowed license with my imagination. You wrote a self-help book, and you have no research facts in there. It's simply your opinion and your bad experiences, and they don't apply to all black women. And you keep saying, well, I put that in there once. How many times do I have to say it? Well, you're the one making the statement. You keep saying you're not responsible for what I understand, but you are responsible for what you say. And as DV has read to us over and over again, you are the one who keeps saying black women this, black women that. So you are responsible for what you said. We only understand that because that's what you said. And you won't own any responsibility for it. And that perplexes me because the truth of the matter is, I don't care who you date. I got no problem with interracial relationships. You can run off with 20 white women for all I care. It's got nothing to do with me. God made one for Carmen. I'm not worried about everybody else. You good. You can have whoever you want. My problem is if you're going to make statements like this, then you have to back them up with evidence. And you have not done that. You simply made inflammatory, mean statements, and reminds me of like what we're seeing in the Republican primaries right now. Pandering to the lowest common denominator. And you don't give a damn that what you're saying is not true. And that's not fair to the rest of us. I'm not angry because I'm okay with me. But it's not fair to the rest of us. And I'm bothered by the fact that you won't accept any responsibility for that. If I make a blanket statement for black men or dogs, I got to own that. And then I should have to give evidence of such, which I can't because all black men aren't dogs. So I would never be able to support that with evidence. But you've made these blanket statements. You won't support them with evidence. And when we try to confront you about it to have a conversation, you throw your hands up and say, well, you're just interpreting what you want to hear. No, I'm going off what you see. And you won't even support it with evidence.
No, what we're saying is, when we try to explain something, we're trying to make an explanation of what we're saying, we're constantly cut off. I mean, we've been mostly cut off this whole interview and not letting us speak. But I hear what you guys are saying. If you think that, well, it's made out of bitterness and all that, we've heard all that before. And that, trust me, that really doesn't bother me.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're still not owning it. Support what you said with some evidence. If you come to me with evidence based on my educational training, if you come to me with evidence, that's a conversation we can have all day. Because I can read your evidence, I can research that, I can then either counter an opinion of it, or I can stand that I can understand that what you say is right. But you won't do that. That's what I'm asking you for. I asked you early on in the conversation to explain to me how saying black women have cornered the market on gold digging is not a negative statement, and you never would explain it to me. You went off with
okay,
black women, talked about black women too.
Okay,
but you
okay,
never
okay,
would explain
Carmen.
Why
we get
that
Carmen, Carmen. We get it, sweetie.
Carmen.
We get it. We get it.
Carmen. Carmen. This is what I'm going to do. We got 5 minutes left, gentlemen. You said we didn't give you a chance to speak, right? I'm going to give you this 5 minutes right now to say what you have to say, to defend
okay,
yourself
wait.
Or whatever you got
to
do. And no, because no more questions, no more questions.
No, no, no,
let,
it's not a question.
Them,
I'm going to just make one statement.
I want, well,
very
I want, to, I want
take
them to
me 15 seconds. It's going to take me 15
seconds,
man.
And then after that, I want them to go ahead and get their 5 minutes because I want to close out right. I don't want to go out like that. Okay, go ahead.
All right.
No, go ahead.
Fellas, you know, your bio said that you lived in Memphis. I lived in Memphis, too. You know what I'm saying? And I know a lot of the women that you're talking about, you know, especially being in Memphis, you know, I know a lot of women like that. But that's like me writing, you know, like me telling you, hey, y'all think just like Memphis dudes, and me writing a book on the ignorance of Memphis men. Well, if I'm going to do something like that, I'm going to have to back it up with proof. I can't just go off my experience or the experience of Joe Blow and people like that. You know, I spent a lot of years in Memphis, so I know where you're coming from. But understand this. The reason why I'm saying the things that I'm saying is so that the next time you write a book, you write it with more power and more influence and a better message. You know, so what if you're controversial? Controversy makes the world go round. But ultimately, it's a slap in the face if I write a book on how stupid Memphis men are. At the end, I say, well, I know these dudes that came on my radio show, and I'm going to start with them. I'm not talking about all Memphis dudes. I'm just talking about these dudes. You know what I'm saying? You'd be insulted because I don't know all Memphis dudes.
And you can revise the book you got already and make it better. I mean, you got it out there. You might as well revise it. Now, go ahead and take your 5 minutes because we got that time. Please. Who is that that said they got something to say now? Who is that?
I'm Cotton. You know that.
Go ahead, Cotton. Say it. Go ahead. Go ahead and say it.
Am I saying his name right? Jaquez.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say this last thing. It's, I understand that you have your opinion, and everybody, you know, we all have our own opinion of how we view things. But this is just another book or another tool for the other races to look at us and say they can't never get along. They can't never come together on anything because we're still divided. And this book, to me, again, kind of promotes that we are still divided as black men and women. So, I mean, I would love it if you guys want another book, whenever you write another book, that you would write something that promotes us coming up with some solutions of some type of togetherness and trying to figure out how we don't have to be depicted like this all the time. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, does anybody else have anything to say before I let the gentleman
speak? No, let them speak.
Please speak, gentlemen.
All right. You want to go first, Jacquez?
Yeah, you go ahead. I'll come back.
All right, like I said, first of all, I'm thankful for just letting me be on you guys' show, and I respect everybody's opinion. I'm not angry or bitter about anything. You know, I disagree with a lot of things, like you disagree with mine, but ultimately, overall, you know, the book, you know, it's not for everybody. And we were speaking for a certain amount of black women and a certain amount of black men. We were not speaking to everybody. Now, like I said, you guys seem to be offended when I say when you took it that way, but that's honestly what we said. We were not saying all black women were doing these things. Not all black men were this, not all black men were that. You know, and to come at us and say that, well, that's what we're reading. Okay, when you said that I'm not owning it, I think I am owning it. I'm owning it 100%. But I can't sit here and argue with you back and forth about, well, no, that's not what you're seeing. You're not seeing this, and you're not seeing that. If that's what you're seeing, whether it may be true or not, I can't argue with you on it. That's what you want to see? That's what you want to see, sweetie. That's what I was trying to say. But we're not downing black women. We're not tearing them apart. You know what I'm saying? This is not about to divide. This is about to make people talk. This is about to make people listen and just get people's attention. And that's what I wanted to say about it the whole time. Like I said, I didn't ask anybody to agree with this book. I'm just simply read it, draw your own conclusion. If that's how you feel, then so be it. That's the whole point of what we were trying to say. not trying to get, you know, to be these type of doctors. Jacquez, you want to go ahead and say?
I'm pretty much saying the same thing, is that we basically wrote this book to make people communicate. And as we can see from this show, it's exactly what happened. It's like we said, we understand that not everybody's going to agree with it. We didn't expect everybody to agree with it. We don't expect a whole lot of people. We don't expect to be very popular after it comes out. But we wrote what we felt, what we experienced, the people we've been around, the things that we've seen, what we decided to stay there for. And everybody keeps saying that we're not providing solutions for the book, but from what I've heard, nobody there has read the book all the way through. We say solutions all the time. We say different things that you can do to save this relationship and things that you can do to make your relationship better.
And just like we also said, asked you guys to give us a chance to explain it as well, and you didn't give us a solution either. So.
No,
we asked
you
guys. We gave you an opportunity.
What you all wanted is what was said directly in the book. I give my book to my PR. I'm trying to get into this to be successful at it. I didn't have any books on me right now. And when I said I didn't have any books, it's like I was being ridiculed about it.
Can I give you a suggestion? If you're going to be an author and you're going to write books and you're being interviewed about the book, you need to know about the book. You need to talk about that book. You need to be able to go through the book and show things. You can't just be saying you gave it to your PR guy. Come on, man. You gave it to your PR guy, really?
Okay.
Man, I've written 10 books, and I, you know, when I talk about books, I talk about that book. I don't just sit there and say I gave it to my PR guy. He's supposed to take care of it. Come on now, really.
I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm just saying, you all, but when you wanted us to tell you about the book, you wanted us to say what was exactly in the book. We couldn't tell you.
That's what you do when you do an interview. That's what you do when you do interviews about a book. You talk about what's exactly in the book.
You guys said you've done interviews before, and you kind of have to have the book there.
The very first interview we've ever had where somebody wants us to read directly what they have, what's coming from the book, especially when they have a book for themselves directly in front of them.
Well, if you're going to refute your own words, you have to have your own words.
That's what it is.
I was going to say, but you disputed DV's version, and you were like, oh, that's the inflammatory version of whatever. How could you dispute what he's saying if you don't have your own copy of your book?
I never said that was an inflammatory version. That was you all said it. I never said it.
Okay, look, hey, we're going to stop it right here because we ain't got about like 2 minutes left. We thank you guys for coming on the show, and if you want to come back again with solutions or whatever, we'll definitely have you come back. But the thing is, you know, like I said, nobody's trying to dog it. We're just trying to say if you're going to do something, just have something to back up with it. I mean, you know, especially when you do interviews. I'm giving you this as another brother or someone who has been an author who has 10 books out there, okay? Whenever you do an interview, you need to at least have your book so that you can be able to talk about the book, because people are going to ask in interviews for you to read from the excerpts of your book yourself, not go and look at it on Amazon or somewhere else, you know what I mean? And then don't dispute with there. If you wrote it, you wrote it. I mean, that's all. So we thank you guys for coming on, and we thank Stacey. Are you still there? I don't even know if you're still there, Stacey. But anyway,
I'm
you're
still here.
And we definitely want to have you come back on the show. We thank everybody in the chat room and everyone that was there that had their opinions. And I'm sorry if I didn't get everything out that you wanted, because there was a lot of stuff that was going on. And, man, keep on. If you're going to keep writing or whatever you do, I don't know if your plans is to write something. You said you were writing something in the future. You know, just make sure you got something, especially when you do something self-help and that has statistics and things like that. You definitely got to have something to back up what you're saying. Even if this shit is fucked up, have the fucked up data. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all call it self-help, but y'all got 50% of it right. Y'all got the self part right, just not the help.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you got to have something to go back with it. So we thank you, and hopefully you didn't get offended. You know, you guys can come back and
I'm not offended at all. Not at all. Yeah, I enjoy myself. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, this is Word Sexy Radio, and we're going to go ahead and take it from here. And I'm going to play Melanie's favorite, my favorite, too, Marathon. We're going to let it go right here.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You all right.
Like a man.